Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of For the Medical Record, our podcast out of the Center for Medical Humanities and Social Medicine here at Johns Hopkins University, run by your two
esteemed
postdocs. I'm Christy Slobogan.
And I'm Antoine Johnson.
And today, who do we have?
We have the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Pablo F. Gomez, who is an associate professor of history and the history of medicine at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yeah. So this is one of our mini episodes where we talk to a scholar who came to visit for the colloquium here at our department in the history of medicine. And so Pablo, Dr. Gomez, presented a chapter called Accounting for Bodies that is part of his larger book project, Slave Trading and the Imagination of the Quantifiable Body in the Early Modern Atlantic. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Peace. Pablo, thanks for joining us again. First and foremost, we really enjoyed your visit on campus. Before our audience, our listeners, do you mind introducing yourself, your work, your research interests, and everything for us?
Well, thank you first. Thank you so much for having me. So a couple of things about me. I am a historian of the early modern world. I do histories of knowledge making, histories of bodies, and I am very interested in histories that happen around spaces that do not usually figure in the narratives of, usual histories of science and medicine, and specifically those related to the African diaspora and the African diasporic world.
Just to build upon that, could you please summarize your colloquium paper and presentation and share with our audience your main points and arguments in that chapter?
I know this is hard because it was a 30-page paper, hour and a half conversation, but...
It's a good exercise too. But basically, this is the paper that I presented was a chapter of a book that I'm finishing, and in which I am interested in looking at what was the role or how did the war of the slave trade figure or create a grammar for speaking about bodies and quantification. I think that most of the histories that we know about body quantification, risk, the creation of averages is one that flows through usual spaces in Northern Europe and in learned spaces that I think, surprisingly for me, have not touched upon what was in reality the largest project of quantification of human bodies of the early modern era. I think that there is any other space in which bodies were quantified in as much detail and with so much at stake, especially for the lives of the millions of people that ended up dying in that process, than the transatlantic slave trade. So the main objective of this project is to look at the violence and the profoundly violent histories behind these processes that seem to be so normative for the emergence of biomedicine, science itself, and for our own thinkers and talking about public health epidemiology much later in the 18th and 19th century. I'm arguing that these ideas, these notions are already present in the language of slave trading societies. And this is our big point. It's not only a small group of people that are engaged in this conversation, but large numbers of communities, both in the Iberian Atlantic, in the Mediterranean world, and increasingly throughout the 17th century in Northern Europe, including England, France, the Netherlands. But that this is already happening in spaces in West and West Central Africa and in the Caribbean and Americas, as well as in the Iberian world in the 16th century. So that is kind of the main thrust is, okay, we need to really think about this, something that is crucial for thinking about our own histories of corporality. It's not only histories of race making, which is central to that, and we know that, but it's also something, at least for me, more disturbing, right? It increasingly became more disturbing as I was, how is that this is somehow embodied in all of us in our ways of thinking about medicine today?
Thank you, Pablo. And continuing to build on that, can you share with us how this piece that you presented at the colloquium fits into your wider research project And if you want, how does this build upon your previous scholarship, you know, your last monograph and even your article in Small Axe?
Thank you, Antoine. I think it's interesting because obviously this is a project that I've been working on for a long time. Even when I was finishing up my first book, the evidence just kept popping up as I was doing the research for the Experiential Caribbean. So this tells you that this is part of the same history. I see these projects going hand in hand. It kind of continues my interest, as I said at the beginning, of asking us to look at the spaces where most people are creating and thinking about corporality, at least in the historical locales that I'm interested in. In this case, the Caribbean, Africa, the Americas, but more broadly, what are the larger consequences for the world that emerges out of it? And I think that historians have been relatively good recently about, you know, how we look at the history of science and medicine in relationship to the history of race, racism, and I think that that is work that is absolutely necessary. Or the emergence of the relationship between the histories of medicine and science and racial capitalism, colonialism. And I am kind of going shoulder to shoulder, and in many cases, depending and borrowing from these concepts, as being very, a scholarship that has been super important for me. My concern, however, has always been that if we only depend on the narratives of kind of European or North Atlantic or Euro-American histories, right, like conceptually, right, like, and epistemologically, to think about the histories, again, of African diasporic knowledge producers, right, like, or in this case, of the basic notions of corporeality, that they don't, I mean, this is not something that is happening at the medical schools in Salamanca. It is not happening at the Royal Society. This is not something that is happening in the academy. It's happening outside of it. And yet, it shapes in, I think, profoundly important ways our world. So just to summarize again, I think that these two projects go hand in hand. And as I think I said in the colloquium, this is a history about the violence of this war and the violence of these numbers. It's not a history that tries to elevate these historical actors, but signal, we need to look at these guys. We have been averting our eyes.
That's great. Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciated your discussion in this paper and in the colloquium about not only the violence of these numbers, but how numbers are often seen as sanitized or even ahistorical. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate you putting these kinds of numbers into that context, these kinds of like mathematical formulas into that context of doing this violence actively as they're being formulated, as they're being worked out. That was a completely new approach for me.
Yeah. And the date from which you start, like we think of, well, like me, you know, late 19th, early 20th, we think of, you know, Frederick Hoffman, but you're showing us centuries before Hoffman's statistical, you know, analysis.
Yeah.
And if I can, I mean, I the other thing that I will say about numbers, right, like is that there is nothing natural about numbers. There is nothing natural about, not even the way we count. And it was through, I think it was through this process that they become normative, as I said before, like, yeah, it is okay. And that is why we can talk about mortality and morbidity and what the numbers hide, what is the magic, the pretty horrible magic that they perform. And I was interested in that also. And we need to remember that we're talking about numbers related to the destinies and shaping the destinies of specific human beings and a specific population. So it's also to link this history of genocide, really, and what are the conduits through which it enters our kind of narrative, the narratives of our world. So part of the process for me was also trying to come to terms with something that it is very unsettling. I think that the history is, again, of that distancing of between our own modern selves, right, like as ethical actors that can look with horror, right, like at what the slave trading or the slave-based societies did in the 18th and 19th century. It is a positioning that I think for me, it allows us to be very comfortable in our own flesh, in our own beings. And part of the project here is also saying, yeah, nah, that is not enough. You should be very uncomfortable with the ways in which you deal with your own life and the ways we have construed not only those words, but the words in which we live. Again, it's unsettling. The more I got into the project, the more, again, the clearer it became to me that at least the epistemic consequences went far beyond that space. The modernity itself is not the only ways through which we can imagine those worlds.
Yeah, and I think that really comes through not only in the way that you're talking about it now, but in the writing itself, kind of that power and that that kind of new narrative. One of our favorite questions to ask folks is about the process of research. And we wanted to know if anything in particular, either from the archives or in the process of writing, really surprised you in going through this project.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as I said before, it's been almost a decade-long project by now, right? Like, this is not, I hope this is not daunting, but it is one of the, something that I started thinking a long time ago. And the thing that it surprised me is how the project, where the project started and where it ended, right? Like, and in the ways in which the sources themselves is like keep pushing for in directions that I at least found to be unexpected, but also discovering how these actors were so much involved in so much up to date to the mathematics of the world in which they live, right? That was, these guys were not, they were using the best tools at their disposal, and they were doing so before many of the vaunted, I don't know, physicians or natural historians of the 17th century were doing it. And we're talking about, again, pretty horrible human beings. We're talking about slave traders, right? Like, so that was also surprising, and discovering that, you know, so much of this information has been there. Like, it is there. I didn't have to go and dig, but the Archivo General de Indias, the General Archive of the Indies, is full of these records, full of these records. The same thing with archives in the Netherlands. This is the world that built up that world, the Atlantic world. It's the world of slavery. The fact that we have not thought about it as essential for telling our histories, that's probably the surprising thing. It was like, this has been here all along. It's like, how is that? We never thought about it. These numbers are all over the place. We never thought about it as essential to telling these histories of quantification.
Thank you, Pablo.
We love that.
Seriously. Yeah. And I just love hearing you talk about this work. And you got me thinking about numbers and contemporary debates around COVID, you know, morbidity and mortality. But, you know, getting to one of our last questions, how do you feel this work relates to, you know, questions, debates, and problems in medicine or healthcare today?
Thank you for that. As I said, I think of myself as a historian of the early modern world. And if you have heard me talking about anything before, I'm a huge advocate for, you know, thinking about that world on its own terms, right? Like, I don't think that the histories of the early modernity, right, they need to be link semiologically, right, like necessarily to what the ways or the world in which we live today, that there is not a teleological narrative here linking it, because one of the things that happens is that we tend to ascribe certain kind of trajectories to these ways of thinking. So all this to say that I do not want necessarily the project to say like there is this specific link to this, right? Like, however, what one thing that I think it is for me clear, right? Like, because there were many, many things happening in between those very primitive, if you think, very crude mathematical attempts, right? Like thinking about like risk, for instance, related to human bodies. This is different from what will happen in the 19th or 20th century in terms of epidemiologists or like trying to make large data sets. And so those are spaces that are informed by decades and decades of playing with these numbers. And yet, there is something that remains, and I was thinking about it precisely with COVID, right? Like, remember the big graphs, right? Like with the waves, right? Like of COVID coming in and out. In the naturalization of those waves, and in the ways in which we thought about it, and the which we thought about like transmission, the type of numbers that these are millions of people dying, millions of people dying, millions of people, you know, whose lives were destroyed, and yet numbers allow us to talk about it in the front page of a newspaper, or to talk in a conversation. I'm not saying that is the only ways in which these numbers came to be, but certainly is part of that history. And I think an essential part of it, because one of the tricks that numbers did for slave trading societies is that it allowed them to think about the future of embodiment, the future of bodies in ways that were not related to human beings that were tangible at the moment, right? That you can imagine bodies as abstract. You can transact on them. You can plan on them, right? So I will see that is a kind of a specific example with the caveat, again, that it's not that there is a teleological direct link, but it's like something that is much more kind of in the background in the ways in which our world was emerging and languages were, for speaking about bodies, were also coming to be.
I really appreciate that, especially with the caveat. But I feel like elaborating on that COVID example might help our listeners to kind of conceive of exactly what you're talking about in the historical moment that you're writing about. So yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Pablo. We are very grateful for you sharing your research with us and have spending time with us today to talk about your forthcoming project.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pablo.
No, thank you so much for the invitation. It's been a pleasure.